consider it or quote it or not. In other words, I'm waiting for Canada to say, wait a sec, I don't have to do press conferences where I'm unnecessarily conflicted, or maybe run around and do television, which is a lot of often empty imagery. I'm gonna put some real time into that blogosphere, and it'll trickle down over and everywhere.
All right, Ian.
So I have a simple question with that. If money is so important because it does show interest, if you spend an hour a day blogging, would that bring in how many tens of thousands of dollars? If it brought in a certain amount, then they would do it. I assume if you would get $100,000 a day for an hour of blogging, I assume that would make a difference. How would you find that out?
I think and you all have to, we have, guys and gals, we have five more minutes, so.
Okay. I have one other element about
this. Is this really, like, really a big new idea, or?
Yeah, it hasn't been raised yet.
Okay,
and thank you for asking me if I'm redundant. What money means is that we still have a digital divide.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Oakland, California, and I go to Carrie and Dean meetups, and they're white. And I live in Oakland, California. And that means that I don't have the outreach from the electronic media to the basic core constituencies of this neighborhood, of these communities. And so one of the things that people are talking about is how do we bridge the gap? And right now it's money, but it's also going to be legwork and doing traditional campaigning, going to churches and unions or however else you reach out to the local networks of people. But that's why they don't depend upon the web alone and why money is still a big factor, David.
Let's give the campaigns the rest of the time we have now. So, what? No, I mean, you guys have been incredibly great, you know, incredibly lively and interesting and idealistic and all different sides of everything else, but we're out of time. So, anybody want to go?
Actually, I'd like to sort of respond to the last few questions that have been posed about candidates not spending enough time blogging. And the truth of the matter is, as the gentleman up there said, you know, not everybody is in the blogosphere. Not everybody's on the internet. Just about everybody has a TV. So the television is going to continue to be the preferred medium until the internet has become as widely available as television, and it still isn't. And blogs certainly aren't as widely available as television if people don't know about them. I can see blogs becoming a primary tool of political campaigns in 10 years, possibly, in 20 years, definitely. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in this campaign. It probably won't happen in 2008 either. I mean, the elderly, some of them are on, a lot of them aren't. You know, the urban poor, some of them are on, a lot of them aren't. There are huge demographic segments here. I mean, this is going across all classes of people who aren't connected to the internet. And if they aren't online, then they have to use alternate methods to go after them, and they have to have the money coming in to fund that.
Okay, any of you guys want to rebut that? Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I'm just going to say one thing, because I've been working in the internet and politics now since 1995. And every 2 years I keep saying, oh, this is going to be the year the web makes a difference. This is going to be the year the web makes a difference. And it's easy sort of after the fact to go, well, no, maybe not. But then we had 2,000 and 500 some odd votes in the state of Florida. Bush pumped 30,000 emails into that state at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. We didn't. Maybe. Now, even if we're only reaching a small percentage of the total voting audience with the blog, to the extent that we're reaching people that we haven't been reached before, or we're reaching them in a way that they want to be reached out to, a way that they can come back to us, tell us what they think, I think that's great, and that could easily make the difference. 500 votes determined a presidency.
I think that was an excellent point to end this on. So thank you all very much. Incredible panel. Thanks for putting up with all the, you know, whatever. I mean, that's part of what we do is we test you guys and see if you're worth it. So thanks very much. You are totally great. All right. First of all, I want to just give you a rundown of what's next, okay? At 5:30, which has been 3 minutes, we're starting a party at Norton Woods. You have directions in your information packets. At 7:30, we're having dinners with with speakers. You have to sign up for these dinners at local restaurants. If you haven't signed up, see Wendy Coslow. She's out. If you need to know where how to find Wendy, come to me and I'll point her out to you. Tomorrow we have day two, and the grid for day two is up on the screen right now. The sessions start at 9 a.m., and you need to register. Well, if you're here, you don't need to register, actually. And you can see the initial sessions are technology. There's sort of a one huge birds of a feather session where anybody can meet other people over whatever reason you got room to meet there. There's medicine and blogs, a beginner session which teaches you how to create a weblog, and then bloggers in their midst, which is Hallie Suit's Harvard Business Review case study. Michael asked me to ask the rest of you, this day is free, anybody can attend, would you mind blogging it? Would you mind putting it on your blog saying, come, it's free if you're in the area? We'd really appreciate it. It's probably going to be really well attended. It's going to have a whole different feel to this day. I think it's going to be very, very exciting. So I want to thank you all. I think this was an incredible conference. We all got a lot out of it, and see you soon. Okay? Thanks.
I want to welcome everybody to the technology discussion at BloggerCon. I'm Susan Murnett, and I'm not a technologist, which is why I ended up chairing this panel discussion. What we're going to talk about today is really technology from the perspective of what users want. We've got a lot of different kinds of users who are going to participate in the discussion. I think that one of the things we all know from blogging is that what we can do is really shaped not only by our own vision, but by the capabilities of the tools. So what we want to talk about today is how the tools and our vision, what we want to do, kind of intersect, both for ourselves and then what we see out in the marketplace. Because anyone who's a blogger is going to think about not just what they like, but what they would like to see other people do, especially less knowledgeable, less experienced bloggers, but people they'd like to get into blogging. So we have a number of people here today who are going to contribute to this, and I'm hoping that people in the audience will also contribute and share. This is going to be more of a discussion than a panel, so it's different in format than yesterday. But I'd like to quickly introduce some of the people who are going to talk and kind of give you a little sense of who they are and the structure. Kevin Marks, who's helped plan this with me and really partner in crime, is going to kick it off. Then we're going to hear from Amy Wall and Dan Bricklin. These are three very accomplished people who each have significant skill and experience in different areas of technology, and they're going to speak as users, but obviously from a very well-informed perspective. We're then going to move to Frank Painter, who is kind of a bridge between being a technologist and being a user, because his blog is often about non-technical things, writing, media, the arts. And then we're going to move to Scott Brodeur, and we're waiting for the person from AOL, and really talk about everyday users and what kinds of tools and needs and problems do people who really are just starting to blog have. And I'm hoping that the discussion will not be so much about complaining, well, you know, radio loses posts and blogger is unstable, as much as really the idea of here's the kinds of things we'd like to see technologists making. Here are the kinds of things that people should build. And if you want to talk about business models and is blogging sustainable or is it all going to get subsumed into Longhorn and Outlook and, you know, not be viable, that's probably a relevant piece to touch on. We'll probably give each person 2 or 3 minutes to talk. We also have some technologists and vendors in the audience who can help contribute. Scott Johnson from Feedster, Jen Neal from VidiBlogs is supposed to show up. We've got Henry Copeland, other people. So I think at a certain point, this will become pretty free-form, and you should be, you know, raising comments, and we'll go into places we didn't imagine we were going to go. So with that, any quick comments or questions? And let's turn it over to Kevin as our first participant.
Keep the broadcast up, thanks.
Why don't you put the mic on, Kevin?
Okay.
Whenever anyone takes 10 minutes.
Take the stage, we'll do that.
I'm also going to appoint myself a timekeeper because, you know, I think that the discussion, we want to make sure we
give people a chance to talk and share. I'll play that role. Okay. So, I'd like to kick off with some general thoughts. Something I realized one day while I was working in my blog was that I can read people's thoughts. I can read your thoughts. I can read dead people's thoughts, but only if they write them down first. The fundamental technology underneath all of this stuff is the technology of writing, and that's the thing that made human culture possible. And over the years, we've come up with different ways of preserving our thoughts over time and over space, and the blogging technologies are just a new extension of that, and they have some slightly different properties than